Once a month, we are joined in studio by our resident astrophysicist, Kirsten Banks, to find out about the universe around us. Kirsten, good morning.
Good morning. It's space time.
Space time. I said, just now, I said, we're going to have a theme for next time that you're on the show and we'll have like a little track to play, and I'm excited.
I'm so excited to see what you'll come up with. Oh my goodness.
What's been happening? What are we talking about this morning?
All right, take us on a journey. This morning, we're talking about a few of the space telescopes and instruments that NASA have come up with and some of the great things they've done.
Okay.
But you may or may not have been keeping up with the dramatic saga that is the Mars Opportunity rover.
I feel like I've not as much as I've been keeping up with the Kardashians, but I feel like I've kept up a little bit with the Mars rover.
Yep. Okay, so a little bit of a recap. In June this year, little Oppie was doing its thing, looking at Mars rocks and taking some awesome selfies until a dust storm approached and cut off the rover's main power supply, the sun.
Oh, no.
Yes. Now, it's been through this many times.
Okay.
And it's come through many times.
Oh, no.
But this dust storm ended up engulfing the entire planet.
Oh, my God.
So it turned into a global dust storm.
Why do we want to send people there? This seems dangerous.
It's just like any other day in Australia, really.
Okay, dust storms.
Yeah, dust storms. We get them all the time.
All right. I love that we call him Oppie as well.
I know.
That's really cute.
All right. And so the sun goes down on Oppie.
Yep.
And it went into hibernation mode to preserve the battery power, whatever battery power it had left.
Smart.
Yes, of course. It's a very smart little robot.
Yeah.
In September, after the dust had settled, the team at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory, or JPL for short, began work to try and wake up Oppie. And I love how they did this. To boost pep inside the lab, they played 80s hit songs like Wham's Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go.
That's amazing.
It's so good. And yes. A Space Oddity as well. Like all of the, you know, the perfect ones you would play.
The ultimate NASA playlist.
Exactly. The ultimate NASA playlist. You can find it on Spotify as well, I'm pretty sure. It's great.
Oh, wow.
But despite all of JPL's attempts to resume contact with Oppie, it left us in the red zone and never responded. Until now, maybe, sort of, we think.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's kind of sent us a little bit of a message, but not really. But why do we think he's there?
So NASA's Deep Space Network appeared to have registered a downlink connection with Oppie on Thursday at a painfully slow 11 bytes per second.
Oh, no.
But unfortunately, it was not meant to be. And just yesterday, JPL announced that it was not a hashtag Oppie phone home moment.
Oh, no.
So we're still waiting for Oppie to
Will they keep trying?
They're still trying for now, but I think morale has dropped a little bit. They might need to refresh the playlist.
Yeah.
Exactly. But even if Opportunity never wakes up ever again, it's what I like to call the little rover that could, and it has exceeded its planned 90-day mission by more than a decade.
What?
So it was only planned to be on Mars and work for about 90 days, and it's been going for about 14 years.
Oh, my God. Now, this isn't the one that landed in the shade, is it? Wasn't there one that went to a crater or a planet or something and it meant to land in a certain spot, but it landed in the shade and they couldn't charge its solar batteries?
That
was different.
Because Oppie managed to keep going and was doing it.
And for 14 years.
That was Spirit.
Sure.
Mm.
That's the only one I remember. And I was like, oh, no.
Yeah. Is it not good?
But okay, so there's still hope. We haven't given up hope yet on Oppie.
There's still a bit of hope.
He's put a good innings in, though.
He has.
Yeah.
He's done a very good job.
Okay, cool. So we've got Oppie on Mars, maybe working, maybe not. Maybe this is like schoolies. He's just disappeared for a while.
Yep.
No one will hear from him for a couple of weeks.
He's just real salty with us for leaving him there for 14 years instead of 90 days. Like, can I come back yet, please?
They'll never bring him back, will they?
No. No, we'll keep him there.
I'm like, are there plans to bring him back?
No.
No.
I don't think so.
It was
least.
A one-way ticket.
One-way ticket.
Yeah.
Much like the one-way tickets we're putting out at the moment.
Yeah.
To go to
Mars. Well, yeah. Okay. So he's had Matt Damon as company and that's it for
that's
the last
pretty much
while.
It. Yeah.
Radio.
Matt Damon and his poop potatoes.
Yeah. So what else have we got going on?
Okay. So it seems like a really sad month in the space. I'm sorry. But there's another telescope that's run out of fuel.
Oh, no.
And it's the planet hunting telescope Kepler.
Okay.
So the Kepler Space Telescope, after 9 years in space, the Planet Hunter has run out of juice. But don't worry, don't be sad that we potentially lost yet another great piece of space technology. Kepler did its job as planned and has completely opened our eyes to a whole new universe.
Wow.
Yeah, so before Kepler, we thought the solar system was unique with its numerous bodies orbiting around our host star, the Sun. But now, after the great work of Kepler, the Planet Hunter, it is now evident that for almost every single star there is in the universe, there is at least one planet.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
That's the current statistic that's coming out at the moment.
We're not special at all.
No, not at all. All right. Which is just great. Thanks for the ego boost, Kepler.
Okay, so Kepler was out in the kind of
out
universe.
In space.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
He's out in space looking at stars, looking at a really large area of the sky as well. I think it's about 20 moon widths large.
Okay.
That's how big this piece of sky is that they're looking at.
Yeah.
Mm. And Kepler has discovered firsthand, almost 2,500 exoplanets.
Oh my God.
Mm. Most of them of which were 2 to 6 times the size of the Earth with a very wide range of masses.
Wow.
So
take a knee, Kepler. You have done your job.
They have done a very good job.
Wow.
And not belong its final hour, Kepler may have taken the first step in discovering the first ever exomoon that we talked about last month.
Yes. Okay. Cool. So that was Kepler.
That was Kepler. Yes.
Oh, is there any way we can recharge it or we don't? It's not happening.
It's not going to happen. It's out of juice.
Yeah.
We could send up fuel, but it would take more fuel to send fuel up there and would be very expensive.
Okay, cool. We may as well just send another one up.
Exactly. It's probably cheaper just to send another one up.
And Kepler can drift off and enjoy retirement.
Pretty much.
Make its way to the moon. Keep Oppie company. This is great.
Yeah.
All right. I'm so curious, and I don't know if this is a question that's a real question. So when these things stop working,
mm-hmm.
and when now we have an enormous space telescope floating around, what happens to it?
Well, they generally just keep
floating around.
Floating around.
Right. Yep. Then it's never going to crash back into Earth or anything like that.
Unless something drastic happens, it's unlikely.
It's just, we're just polluting. So we've polluted the Earth enough and we're going to pollute the sky now.
Pretty much, yep.
Wow. Okay, but there's not as much up there. It's fine. Wow. Okay, so he'll just float forever and ever. Can we track him? Do we know where he's going?
Oh, yeah, we certainly know where he is.
Wow.
Distance away at the moment that I do not know the
number. It's a long way away.
But it's a long way away.
It's a long way away.
Yeah, it's in deep space.
Deep space. And it could just keep going for all eternity. It could keep floating.
Yep.
Gosh, that's so cool.
I know, right?
Wow.
So don't take a wrong turn and end up in space because you'll be out there for a while.
The Kepler is not coming to get you.
It is
out of juice.
It is out of juice. No rescue missions happening here.
No, the only thing you can do is go and try and find Oppie and then that's it.
That's right.
Now, we've got one last piece of exciting news this morning, something that's happened to you over the last month.
Yes, I have officially graduated from my physics degree.
This is so exciting.
Oh, I can't believe it's done. And because I'm crazy, I am going back to uni next year.
Oh, no. What are you doing next year?
Next year, I'm going to do an honours year of research in astrophysics looking at the evolution of galaxies.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'll have plenty to talk about
next year. Hold on. There is an evolution of galaxies? They change?
Galaxies absolutely change. Yes, because they didn't, when the universe started, it was just this dense fog of hydrogen, helium, gas.
Okay.
And subatomic particles whizzing around doing their thing.
Yeah.
After it cooled down, then the first stars could form, but they formed in like these big blob shapes.
Mm-hmm.
But then, of course, eventually they'd have to come together, merge together, make big spinny things, which give you galaxies. So I'm going to be looking at how the mass to size ratio affects the evolution of galaxies in some shape or form.
Whoa. Man, that is wild. I couldn't figure out how to put on toast last night. Like, that's like the levels that we're operating at here. Oh my gosh. That's insane.
I'm super excited.
So, like, theoretically, could they continue to evolve?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Wow.
Like, for example, our galaxy in about 3.5 billion years or so will collide with the Andromeda galaxy, our nearest, well, not our nearest neighbor, but our nearest biggest neighbor. So we're kind of, you know how when you get to a point in a movie where you have two best friends who have been away from each other for like years,
yeah,
and they do this slow motion run to each other.
In the airport, yeah.
In the airport, yeah. That's what we're doing with Andromeda until, except the friendship analogy kind of breaks down when they come together, because when we come together, we're going to rip each other apart.
Oh.
Not probably a good thing that friends do.
But something does happen.
So we will merge together and become one big galaxy. And a great way to learn about that is to go to Professor Lisa Harvey-Smith's show at the Roundhouse on Tuesday to learn about when galaxies collide. I'll be there.
Okay.
She's fantastic. Have to give a shout out to her.
Amazing.
Go to her show.
Okay, so if we want to learn something Thursday night.
Tuesday night. Tuesday night at the Roundhouse
at UNSW. At UNSW. I feel like I've learned so much right now, And I also am still like very much lamenting on the sadness of Oppie.
I know.
And I just wanted to come back to us. Hashtag Oppie phone home.
Yeah, please, let's start
a No Maze campaign. Oppie, come back. Kirsten, we'll have to leave it there. But thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you. I'll be back next month.